6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Check 1, 2, and the third time. Everything is recording.
Rolling.
There's a method to this, people, because sometimes everything is a recording.
I promise.
And if you see this, you probably get in the back, behind the scenes anyway. Which I think we're going to put on our memberships. Memberships can pop. Memberships are available.
Yeah.
I haven't published them, but I will now.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Welcome to the Dear Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. It's for fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless, so nobody's left out. These are the conversations we want our sons to access as they grow through life, so no topics are off limits. I'm one of your hosts, D. Johns.
I'm your other host, Jay Black.
Jay Black back in the saddle. He's not fired. He ain't quit. He ain't fired, people. We on the pace.
Yeah.
A couple episodes a week. So you're going to see an episode like this. You're going to see an episode with me and the guest, maybe Jay Black and the guest.
Correct.
There might be a third episode popping. We had some conversations we ain't conversed about.
But
there was some getting to it yesterday that I got to catch you up on. But how you feeling, bro?
Everything good, man. We grinding. We pushing. Got a nice little break from this cold weather.
Indeed.
You know, so I'm loving that, man. I'm excited. I'm actually excited about this episode. I know we typically do a good check-in on the front side. But, man, this episode is really chomping at the bit.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, what about you? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. That's going to be enough for me. Family great. Everything great. Let's get to it.
Man, we're
talking about these adult children today.
Yeah.
Had some feedback and some experience. Because mm-hmm. you have an adult child in the house. Yep. I have two. One is in school. But
yeah.
She comes home every weekend then.
Yeah.
She's nearby. And then we got, you know, my son, 17 going on 18. So, you know, my adults are 21. 19 and 17 going on 18.
Yeah.
And then the other two are the youngest. We're going to lead them out for this episode. But just getting to that stage of, man, are they going to be productive or are they going to be leeches?
The jury's still out. And that's not to say anything negative about them.
Right.
It's just a matter of you know, a trend.
Yeah.
A trend I see. And I've spoken with a lot of people and I have some uncomfortable comments to make in this episode about accountability towards parents, me included.
Mm.
So this gonna get sticky. It's gonna get real sticky real quick too.
Yeah. So let's bring it from our perspective. We do have some facts. We got some stats to bring in and some third party information that we're gonna share to enhance.
Yes.
The points that we're gonna make today.
Yes.
But just in terms of your story, when did you get out the house and what was that process like for you?
Mine personally, we're going to look at when it was time for me to go, I graduated high school and 2 weeks later, I shipped out to basic training for the military. Did my military basic training, AIT. I was National Guard, Army National Guard. So as soon as my AIT was over, I'm coming back home. And then I shift to a 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer.
Yeah.
So that I could go to college right now. So that was my thing. So when I got back, college had already started. The semester started. So I had to wait till the spring before I could go. But even when I went with that, like I said on a episode previously, I packed a duffel bag and hopped in a car with my homeboy and hitched a ride, if you will, down to college and figured it out. Found it out, figured it out, didn't know a thing. My parents didn't go, didn't come, didn't set up, didn't shop, didn't, oh, let's do move-in in the room and put all of the beautiful things on the wall and take pictures and none of that. Yeah. None of it. They never, ever even came to the city I was going to college in. And that's no slug at my parents, but just a matter of grown and gone.
Yeah.
Meant something back then. What I mean? So we're gonna dig into that a little deeper. What is your wrap up of your transition from a child living at home going into my adult life? How did that look for you?
Yeah, fresh out of high school, I went to college and I belabored that story everywhere else, flunked out, took myself out.
Mm-hmm.
My dad agreed.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that, but he agreed. That following Monday, he told me when he get up and leave the house, I need to get up and leave his house and don't come back before him unless I got a job.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was in the winter.
Mm.
This is in Virginia, so Virginia has all four seasons. So I ended up washing cars at a rental car place in the winter, which taught me a very valuable lesson that I should have just did what I need to do in school. But anywho, I continued there until I had a seemingly career-like position offered. So I went to apprentice school at It was Newport News Shipbuilding at the time. I think it's Ingalls Shipbuilding now. So they built the carriers and the sub for the Navy.
Oh, okay.
So that was a big deal. I don't know if they're the largest employer in 757 or maybe Virginia, but you know, it's 30,000 at any given time are working there. Then they have layoffs and things like that. So I ended up working there, thought I was making some money. I remember my higher salary was $7 and something.
Yeah.
Like $7.05 or something like that. And I really thought I was doing something. Getting them checks.
Yeah.
And I think I was clearing we were getting paid every week. So $7 times 4, $280. I was probably bringing home like $225 because I, you know.
Yeah.
I'm in no tax bracket at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, $900 a month in my pocket.
At that point. So I saved up a few of those, had $1,000. I'm like, I'm ready to be out. Talked to my dad and he recommended that I stay home. But we came to an agreement that if I had a certain amount saved out, that he would be okay with me moving out. Not that he could have stopped me, but it was right. Important. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
And I moved out at 19, December 1998. I turned 19 in that September. Me and my boy rented a house from my mom. It was a family home that got passed down and we were renting from her.
Mm-hmm.
Rent was $265 a piece.
Come on.
Who ain't living?
Come on. You ain't talking to me.
Who ain't living?
I got three checks left for the month.
Who ain't living? Until them bills started coming in, we started squandering money.
Yeah.
Looked up, all we got is rice, corn, bread in the fridge. The rice was in the fridge for whatever reason. I don't know why. Not the cooked rice, but the bag.
Keep it fresh. Come on, man.
There
you know
it
why
is.
I was in there.
There it is. So, you know, we jumped out, no cable.
Yeah.
We lived off of recorded Martin episodes on VHS, but yeah. We had a space.
Independence.
We had a space.
Yeah.
So, and it was a house.
Yeah.
It was a house on a 3/4 acre lot, you know, narrow, long lot, old school, old neighborhood, mature neighborhood. And there we were. Would you say in the door ain't cheating?
In the door and ain't cheating. Stop playing with me.
We was in there, but I want to go back to yours just yes. Before we get into these points a little bit. Did you feel pressure to get out? Because that's gonna be part of the conversation, getting at these parents.
No pressure from the parents. The drive was already there. Like the older I got, the more I wanted to be on my own. The more I didn't want to hear anybody else's opinion or guidance or rules or what they thought I should do or how I should do it. I was very strong willed and strong minded. I couldn't wait to go get my own. I need my own bread. I need my own crib. I need my own I need to find a way to get my own vehicle. I had no idea how any of these things were going to happen, but they're going to happen. Like I had to, no, I didn't have a parent talking to me about post high school or college or what are your plans or goals in life? Nothing.
Yeah.
My parents asked me at graduation, what you doing next? Right on. By then I had already turned the wheel. Like I had already talked to the recruiter. I had already set up the military. It was a go. Like I'm out. So I say that to say, not to say again, I'm not bashing my parents that they were bad parents. It's just the difference of what it looks like to be self-driven. And it was instilled based on the lifestyle we had growing up. So that's my issue with the current parenting is we're creating the thing that we hate. We are holding these kids back. Us. This is every generation has a identity.
Sure.
Right. Everybody always focuses on the children, though. The millennials, Gen Z, blah, 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 blah. Every parenting generation has an identity as well. And the identity of our generation as parents is PAP, P-A-P, punk ass parents. We are in these kids, children, young adults, whatever you want to refer to them as, we're in their way.
Soft life.
And we're going to dig deep into this episode.
Word.
We're going to dig deep. Did you feel pressure? I know you said when you went to college, it didn't work out. You were ready to, you was like, I'm coming out. It almost, I don't want to say it was a cry for help, but it was almost a push me along. Now fire me up. Nah. And your dad was like, no, sir.
I
couldn't agree with you more.
I was looking for some pap.
Yeah.
I was looking for some pap. We didn't get it. Pap ain't exist in my house at all.
Yeah.
So there was no pressure. Like I mentioned, my dad didn't want me to go, but he wasn't going to fight me to make me do the right thing.
Yeah.
Because again, coming from his generation, even though he lost his dad when he was 20.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have a dad as an adult, but up to 20, there wasn't a whole lot of conversation, wasn't a whole lot of planning and life lessons sharing other than the example that he set. Kind of, you know, see what I do. Don't say too much kind of generation.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew, like he had some foresight into it'll probably be better if you stay home.
Yes.
But also I think he knew my lifestyle wasn't going to fit the rules.
Right.
And he made it clear. It was like one man at the house. So it definitely was a kick out or a push out, but, I needed the lesson directly, which is what we try to prevent on this platform is, hey, take our lesson.
Yeah, please
take this information. Please. So that's what it was for me. But in preparing for this, we looked at some information and came across, what is this site? This site is called adultchildrenlivingathome.com.
Imagine that.
How fitting. And the thing that caught me was from the search return, there was actually a contract template for the parent and the child to have for what this is going to look like living in the house. And you think that might be extreme until you have an adult child living at home. Right now, I don't have any crazy stories. I do. Like I said, we have an adult child. One is spends most of her time on campus. Living on campus at a local university. The other one is here and has a child. So we also have three generations in the house.
Right.
And I would call it curfew, but honestly, I never set a curfew because I'm maybe guilty of a little pap myself.
We all are.
Yeah. Well, a lot of pap. And I'm just thinking, especially now that you're a mom.
Yes.
Things are just going to make sense differently.
Yes.
And you can't rely on that again. It's, I go to bed early, but I can hear everything. So when that front door cracking at 3:30 in the AM, I'm up for the rest of the day already. Off of that, I'm like, what are we doing?
Bright and early.
What exactly are we doing? You're coming from nowhere that requires you to be there until at right now o'clock.
Yeah.
And we may or may not get into more of that, but, how you want, So we came up with these from AdultChildrenLivingAtHome.com is the reference.
Yes.
And if the reference changes, I'll do my best to mention it. But yeah. It's 5 points that they've collected and put some information to assist with the process.
I'm going to play Big Pokey. And what I mean by me playing Big Pokey, I'm a poke the bear.
Mm-hmm.
As we go down the list, 1 through 5, of what this website suggests are things to be mindful of and aware of if you're dealing with this situation, I'm going to try to see if I can look in that thing and point out the pap in it.
Yeah.
And that's not to debunk it, because I read it. I read each point. They are absolutely valid and encouraging. But I want to challenge some of these parents out here to also get out of their modern parenting mind,
mm-hmm.
and look at, how did we get here?
Yeah. Sometimes a quick search may return the obvious.
Yeah.
But you may not have had an affinity for the obvious for a long time. So
right.
Sometimes it's good to just have it in black and white and read it.
That's right.
So these are things to stay away from.
Yeah, please.
Right? So 1, encouraging rebellion by taking up parental right where you left off. And the subtext is, it may be hard to remember sometimes, but adult children living at home are still adults.
Mm.
A sure way to set yourself up for conflict is to overparent your adult children.
Mm.
Adult children living at home who are overparented and oversupervised will rebel quickly as teenagers.
Mm.
So you need to develop some strategies to establish a new adult to adult relationship and do it quickly.
Get the hell on. Watch this.
We both adults.
Sure, we are.
Yeah.
We are. We are.
Yeah.
In my house. And there the foolery is. So now, here come Pokey.
Mm.
Let's go back. That phrase basically says, you were a parent, you raised this individual to be an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever worked out in life, the adult had to come back. Now they live with you as an adult.
Or even if they never left.
Even if they never left. Yeah, please, let's absolutely address that portion of it. So now I have to reinvent how or what my approach is to now this adult, not this child. There's a switch. You cross this barrier, switch it. Whether you left and came back or whether you stayed. Well, the parenting doesn't start now. It's from when you were a child and you were impressionable. I, as a parent, I've created this monster. I thought I was going to get an absolute different result. But now I'm looking at exactly what I created through leniency, through enabling, through whatever I did to allow this individual to become this type of an adult. And now I need to recreate and come up with a way to deal with, okay, now how do I deal with this hole that I dug? Let me give me some stilts to stand inside the hole that I dug for 18 years. I dug an 18-year hole, and now I'm wondering why I'm standing in the hole, but my head and shoulders aren't clearing the hole. So I'm going to build some stilts to now interact with this hole so I can be above the level of the surface of the hole. What do you think about that?
It is one thing to consider along with that is, as the children are nearing adulthood,
mm-hmm.
you start to get a representation of who they are, because they probably assume that they're going to go live their life at some point too.
Yes.
Adults, we have been guilty of giving our children a representation of us as well. Like that's a throwback to our last episode, or depending on when you're listening to this episode, called Confessions.
Correct.
Where we're presenting ourselves as being a know-it-all parent that's perfect, whether it's overtly or covertly that we're doing it, whether we're saying it or our actions, our inactions or our lack of sharing our mistakes.
Yeah.
Give them that impression that, oh, they're perfect. And if I'm down the path of making a mistake, maybe I can't, there's no relatability there. So that's one thing to consider as they're getting 17, 16, 17, 18, where they're starting to understand, they're getting their version of the world. And starting to figure out how they want to move in the world. You know, they still have your influence, but, you know, part of being an adult is kind of, you know, your own trek.
That's right.
You want to see where your footsteps lead. So I think your point is valid in terms of, we looking at this hole that we dug,
mm-hmm.
but there's a caution to be mindful as you're digging that hole, like how to shift that narrative,
yeah.
How to have the right conversations that don't dig a hole because of absence of conversations of certain topics that would help prepare them. So I get it, because the adult to adult triggered a story that happened in my house. I think they'll be cool with it. My son and my oldest daughter are tight. They're all tight in their own way, and I'm starting to see that. But this was a couple of years ago when there was we had an infraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say my son was coming to the aid of his older sister.
That's right.
Right. I won't go into what the infraction is
yeah.
on this episode. But it, you know, it was something that had to be addressed. And again, it was a real time assessment of how papish had we been that led to us getting here.
Yeah.
Right. So he starts the conversation off, and I think he's 15 or 16. I'd say he's 16 at this time. 15. He had to be 15. Maybe 16, because it might have been 2 years ago this summer. But he says, hey, we're all adults here. The participants are me, Keisha, my wife, the oldest child, which would be 18 or 19 at this point, and my 15 or 16-year-old son.
16 say we all adults.
And he's setting the conversation, talking about something. Look, we're all adults here. Fool.
Not all of us.
Number one, this conversation already went left because I can't get off this.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my best not to jump off of this bed onto your neck. That's what I was at the time. That's not our relationship now. And it wasn't necessarily our relationship then. It was just the audacity, all of it.
That trigger.
All of the audacity to suggest that we adjust our tone to adults because he set the tone for the room like that. So this adult to adult thing is valid,
yes.
But sometimes that's where I'm going. They can be adult in legal status, but not in action.
Oh.
And then what?
And emotionally.
And then what?
Yeah. The foolery.
So what is the child treatment stop? I'm still trying to figure that one out. You want to go number two?
Yes.
Number two. Stealing your child's independence by giving them a free ride.
Ooh.
Have mercy.
Ooh.
Subtext.
Ooh.
It can be very tempting to try to help your adult children living at home by covering all of their living expenses, especially if they return home after a personal crisis like losing a job or the end of a relationship. But why should they ever learn to take care of themselves when you're all too eager to do it for them? Even a short-term stay should require your adult children living at home to contribute to household expenses and chores. Amen. The best way to set these expectations clearly is by working out a household budget so everyone is on the same page in terms of the extra costs your adult child is causing at home.
Here come Big Pokey. Listen. This one screams. Look at what I did. Look at what I've done. The most important phrase I heard in that bullet was, why should I figure it out? Why should I do it? And you're right there. Absolutely. Pap, you've been there their entire lives. Every time they had a report due, you wrote the report. Every time they had a presentation, you built the presentation. I want my baby to get that A. He gonna do his best work, but it's not his work at all. He didn't fail at anything because you wouldn't allow the lesson of failure to set in. You were so hooked and addicted to him being the best that he never became the best. You did. You got better at presentations. You got better at school and work and talking at home. But then he go home and now the presentation doesn't match what you sent to school with him because it wasn't his work.
Right.
He couldn't speak on what he did not do. So now let's push that another step. College. Now it's time for this kid to get out of high school. You're doing all of his work and his reports again because I got to get my son in a good school. Why? So he can flunk out, fail, because he hasn't done any work the whole entire year. You haven't pushed him to do anything except for get out of bed, go to school, come home, and get on the video game.
Right.
So he doesn't have any other attributes, any other skills, no drive. He doesn't know what failure looks like or feels like because he haven't experienced it. So now it's time to apply to college. What do? You write his essay to present to the university of what type of individual he is about himself. This young man or young lady is inadequately prepared to speak about him or herself because this is what you've created over all these years. You understand? So now he doesn't know how to go and talk to these. You can't go in this interview with him. in this school, when they go on to talk to him about why he's coming to the school, why is this school a good fit for you? He's going to look to the right looking for mom or dad. And you're not there because that's his muscle memory, is to look for mom or dad. They'll pull out his paper, his essay.
What did you mean
when
by
you
this?
Said right here? What did you mean here? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to call mom. I don't know what the heck she meant right there. Fast forward. You see the pattern? Now I go to college. I do get into college. I don't know the first thing about this presentation. What does mom or dad do? Here, son, go present this. Go submit this. Go put this in. It never stops. And now you're absolutely angry and disappointed that now this lazy so-and-so won't get up and go get a job. For what? Why the hell would I go get a job? You go get me a job. You go get a second job and just give me the whole check. That's what you've been doing my whole life. Give me the bread. Go get it. Come back with it. Give it to me. I'm going to jump off the cliff 1,000 times if I know for a fact a safety net is there. I don't even have to calculate the risk. There are no risks. There's a net right there. I'm going to close my eyes and jump off the side, as a matter of fact. Because guess what? Nothing's going to happen to me. Mom and dad got me.
Yeah. You killed that. I don't know if I even want to touch it.
Man.
I'll put this spin on it. Is that, do you think more times than not, that's just overzealous parenting or a realization of failure and trying to protect the family name?
That
you represent me out there.
That is a subliminal, subconscious ego thing. However, I'm going to tell you what I truly think it is. I want to say don't be so hard on yourself, but yeah, be hard on yourself. You don't want to experience the feeling associated as a parent of not seeing my baby make it or be happy or be satisfied or fulfilled. Here's what I offer you. Please consider this. If I can either deal with a couple of years of closing my mouth and stomaching through my kid being picked on at school or ridiculed or not being the top or best in elementary school, middle school, even high school, just keep my mouth closed and be encouraging, but not be save the day, problem solving, do it for you. It hurts. Nobody wants to see their child suffer. You can either suffer now with that little stuff or when the consequences are greater and you're visiting your child in a homeless shelter or under the bridge.
Prison.
Or in prison because they just don't have, they don't know what no means. And when somebody tells them no, they take it. Young man in a situation with a young lady and she told you no. Nobody ever told me no. My mom never told me no.
Yeah.
So
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.
I think it's parents not wanting to deal with the discomfort
mm-hmm.
of seeing their child go through any suffrage. Don't let them, you know, get sick or hurt themselves, but any suffrage, stress on the tree, man. It makes the roots dig deeper. They got to go through something or they don't know what it looks like.
I think whether it's that or the potential embarrassment to the family, the through line is the don't love them different or less.
Yeah.
Like the amount of love. Yeah. Just that the way that you love them can't be dependent on their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could be something as simple as the first time something happens in the family that normally doesn't happen.
Right.
We don't get pregnant at 18 until somebody gets pregnant at 18.
Right.
We don't get locked up until somebody gets locked up.
Right.
And they'll sustain on the family name and you don't know how to deal with it. And I think sometimes out of fear, parents will parent that way because they don't want the stain on the family.
Yeah.
So I'll leave that there, but you killed that one. Let's get to the getting number three.
Hmm.
Number three, assuming that since you're all grown-ups, there's no need for rules. If you think you don't need ground rules for your adult children living at home, consider how you'd feel about them smoking, drinking, or using drugs in your home, or even bringing a lover over to stay overnight. As strange as it may sound, experts agree that the best way to discuss and stick to these household rules is to draft up a customized contract between you and your adult children living at home. Now, I thought that was wild initially, but considering my background is actually government contracts, we have this thing called scope. Scope is what defines the work to be done, mm-hmm. by who, by when, and the conditions of acceptance and payment. You need that with strangers. Never thought that you would actually need that with somebody that you've reared or raised, that you've been with, haven't long, you know, assuming you've been with them their whole life. What are your thoughts on putting that thing in black and white?
I wish the hell I would. I wish the hell I would. I'm dead set against it.
Mm.
And here's why. Again, which is it? I get it, y'all. I'm too much for some people. This won't fit every situation. In some situations, you absolutely do need some contracts in place, documents, paperwork, an outline. I get it. Because if not, the lines are going to be too blurred. Somebody's going to try to take advantage of your passive or your love, if you will. They're like, oh, I'm going to walk all over you. You signed right here. Sound like a timeout to me. Growing up, I had aunts and uncles that always, their favorite line, especially when all the cousins were over and you start getting beside yourself, their favorite line was, hey, grown people need their own place. Meaning, if you're too adult to follow whatever my guidelines and rules are in this house, you don't need to be here. If you're in a position where you cannot have your own place, the last thing you can do is impose your will at the one place that gave you somewhere to be. So now, I don't care if I have a rule that says when you come in, everybody must wrap a towel around their neck. I don't give a damn. It's my house. Maybe I want to watch everybody walk around with a towel wrapped around their neck. I don't care. It's my house.
Right.
Leave. And that's extreme, people. That's just a joke, if you will. But whatever the case is, if I tell you that you can't come in this house after this time, that go from 8 to 88. I'm talking to Texas. You understand? If you too grown to be told you can't come in my house after this time, if you decide as an adult that you're not going to make that time, make provisions for the night. It's that simple. And that's the simple adult compromise. That's the part. Even I didn't have that rule in place growing up. But the thing that I do see is when I was growing up, if I was going to be somewhere at a unrespectable time, if you will.
Yeah.
I just simply did not go back where I was. Even when I came home from college to visit, if I'm staying with relatives, if I know I'm going out with Travis or my partners, I told mine up front, hey, I'll see y'all tomorrow. I'm probably going to crash at T-Crib.
Absolutely.
Just out of respect for the household. You understand? Because of the things I faced growing up, the torment, the ridicule, the discipline, the guidelines, the structure.
Yeah.
But because there's no structure now with these PAPs, you didn't give me any guidelines then. What the hell you look like giving me guidelines now? And I'm a little colorful with my language today, but this is a very touchy topic because I've had some conversations with some parents over the last week, and they telling me some of the stuff they dealing with, and it boiled my blood to hear, you ungrateful little youngsters, if you will. This person gave you life and gave you somewhere to be your entire life and into your adulthood, and you have the audacity.
The full audacity.
The full audacity to not want to comply with a simple rule of whatever it takes to be in the comforts of this established home. How dare you?
Point taken. Point taken. So contract, in terms of legally binding, that's extreme. Because that's the value of a contract, is to be able to enforce what needs to be done. And if something goes awry, you have some legal recourse to recover.
Absolutely.
Your loss. Written rules. See, mine's a little different from yours because of how my children are stacked. You got in your house right now, you got an adult child.
18.
Then you got space.
Yep. 9-6.
You got space. You hit the reset button like we did. Right. But we got three adults in tow that'll all be in the house at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like, what happens with the first one out the gate sets the tone. And I mentioned that before. So if they're, and I'm thinking like refrigerator rules, something that's going to be posted where everybody walks by, hey, don't come to my house after 2 a.m. Those kind of things I get. The contract seems a little extreme because I don't know what the recourse actually is. If you don't do this,
then what?
I don't need the contract to enforce whatever I'm, because it'd be at that time feeling that would kind of dictate what's going to happen.
I agree.
Get out of my house.
Yeah, I agree.
And right now you got to go because you didn't push the limit. You didn't push it. And if I got to that point, I don't need to refer to the contract.
Yeah.
Out my house now. Go figure it out because you've chosen to. So I think, again, I think that's a little extreme in terms of you sign here, I sign here. I get the sentiment. I could make assumptions about what the cultural origin of the writer or how they got to this narrative, but maybe there's something to consider.
Yeah.
Anything else on that one?
No.
Let's get to number 4 of 5. Compromising your own financial situation to support your adult children living at home. Again, these are things to avoid, to reframe it. With adult children living at home, you'll be using more heat, hot water, and electricity. You'll need to buy more groceries. In fact, all of your household expenses will increase. But no matter what you do, do not put your own financial future on the line to support your adult children living at home. You do neither yourself nor your children any good by creating extra debt or obligations for yourself. If you don't know where the money to make the situation work will come from, you need to think long and hard about whether you can help your adult children by having them live at your home.
Pokey the bear. Here come Pokey. I there's merit and honor in that point. I don't see any parent, I don't care how tight it is, you have nowhere to go, come on over here. We're going to figure this thing out. However, you're not going to come back in here and live your best life, though. All of that stuff, leaving my lights and TV on, I'm going to tell you.
Can we be honest for a second, though, since you're already laughing? That has so little impact. Cut my lights off. Cut my TV off.
Yeah, no,
it has so little impact on the actual on the actual bill. You got the AC on that 62. Talk about these lights running my bill up.
Go that on. Out for me. Go turn on. My light off. I got one better than that. When I was in high school, I had a cousin, Adrian. She had a had a car. And I used to go ask to borrow her car. And whenever she didn't feel like me driving the car, she would say, my car need a rest. So that stuck with me my whole life.
It's her car.
So now, listen, as an adult, I can tell you my lights need a rest. That TV need a rest, man. You're running my TV in the ground. So not that I'd actually say that, unless you're getting beside yourself. But back to the seriousness. you're not going to come in here and then you're on shopping sprees. Oh, no. So the putting me in a financial bind, I'm more mindful I need to see you living in a manner of you're actively trying to implement your plan to where this is short term. It's not short term if you're on shopping sprees or you're buying expensive wardrobes or you just added a ridiculously expensive accessory to your car. You done put some rims on your car all of a sudden. You've been out of this house since high school and you've never had rims. Now you're telling me now that you come back and move in the house, you got rims, you're on the game all day. That's another red flag. You're supposed to be working. You got a car, Uber. You finna Uber Eat. You're going to do something to show me that this not what I want to do. This not my plan in life, but I'm baby stepping my way up to where I can't just sit here and telling you I'm trying to figure this thing out. Don't tell me, show me.
Yeah.
Because if you gone all day, to your dad's point, when I get up, I leave this house at this time, I return at this time. When I leave, everybody need to leave.
Go.
If me and my wife going to work, you think you're going to be here? No, sir. When we leave, everybody leave. When we return, everybody free to return at that point. And I need an update. What your day look like? You don't like it? Don't come here. I'm grown. Stop asking me what my day did. You forfeit some of those rights when you come back. What you got?
Exactly. I agree. Your lifestyle needs to reflect your financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought that I am going to subsidize your balling is wild. It's completely wild. Like I've never had a new car as a husband or a parent.
Man.
So not that I couldn't have.
Right.
But from what I saw, like, and not that my parents did, but I mean, then the cost was $13,000 and it was going to be no power windows. No, you know, it was basic if they had to get it. So I live rather modest. I like to invest in, I like to have space in the house, right? Where we all can fit and enjoy it and then invest in the home.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not, you never seen me with jewelry. It's just not me.
Right.
So for you to come and create a lifestyle or an image on my account, nah, I'm on social media too.
Yeah.
I'm a cap you down or whatever they saying. I'll go cap up, cap down. I'm acknowledge the cap on your behalf.
Yeah.
On your account.
Yeah. Not today.
Yeah. So that's a no go.
Yeah.
And it creates a cycle. I think it opens the door for a conversation that I would dare say a lot of families don't have. And right. I love to be wrong. So if you get in the comments and tell me, oh, we've been doing this for generations. Cool. I was wrong.
Right.
I have not.
Yeah.
We started to do it. My parents, you know, talked to us about money, but they were learning on the fly too. So it wasn't like we had a blueprint from great, great grands that's been passed down. And then we're refining it. It's like, no, we're figuring this thing out. Our credit was bad.
Right. Right.
We restored it. So don't have bad credit.
Right.
Our credit was bad too. So, you know, it's kind of getting out of that to have the conversation of maybe they don't understand because of all the pep that you've been providing the lifestyle that's above your means. And I won't say I've been guilty of that. I've been providing too much comfort.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was affordable.
It's a thing.
But unnecessary.
Yep.
That's what I need to say. So, I don't have no issues with that. My dad definitely told me, don't be in his house.
Man.
Don't be on his air. Don't let all the cold out the fridge. That's another, just a quick aside, man. My kids, I realize my kids don't have, we haven't trained them to ask for anything.
Nothing.
Like permission to, if something's in the house. My dad never drank, but he would have cream sodas and root beers in the fridge, and they better be the same quantity as when he left them, unless you ask for permission.
Boy.
If my kids see something, they taking it down to the, we ain't got this no more.
This all me. Hey, we out of the, when y'all go back to the store, y'all need to grab some. Wait a minute.
Bougie kids. Talking
about something. Hey, I told you. We all guilty of this pap. We finna stop this though.
Mm-mm. We out of agave. Why are you in the agave? Get you some regular sugar. Anyhow. And I'd be mad because I'd be buying healthy stuff and they eat it. I'm like, Well, I don't want them to end up like me, so I need to. Anyhow, let's get back on task. We're coming up on time.
Yeah.
Number five. Again, these are things to avoid. Five of five. Assuming your adult children will leave when the time is right. Let's let this one marinate. The best way to ensure your adult children living at home leave within a reasonable time frame is to establish a clear timeline for their stay and milestones to help them reach independence. Most adult children living at home don't plan to stay forever, but if they don't have any clear idea of when they need to leave or how they'll work towards being able to do so, they may end up stuck. By establishing a timeline with clear milestones, you can empower your adult children living at home to leave the nest. If you don't create a timeline, they may end up calling your house home for much longer than you or even they had planned.
Oh, buddy. Oh, buddy.
Mixed feelings on this one.
Oh, buddy. Here's the thing. I like more of a hybrid of the two sides to this issue. Open welcome arms in the beginning. Prior to the coming in, you and the spouse, you sit down and have a in-depth conversation of what you feel is realistic. And then y'all sit down and have a talk with the adult. Even if they never left, if now they're in adult phase of their lives, now it's time to have a conversation. I don't want you uncomfortable or to feel like I allow you to be here out of obligation. None of that. However, clear goals. Let's have check-in, set some checkpoints. 6 months. At the 12 month, it's time to get a little uncomfortable now. You know, like you're too comfortable here. So now it's time to have accelerated conversations. Apply more pressure. Find out what the miss is. Don't wait till the 12 month to find out what the miss is. 3 months, 6 months, quarterly. If you're checking in properly, you can kind of see something or see some trends that can be adjusted that would avoid getting to the burnout phase to where now it's like, I don't care what you do. You can go get a night job at the QT, but I need you up out of here. You want to avoid that. So now indefinite, not saying anything, that's not a thing at all. So how would you approach them understanding that this isn't an open-ended blank check on the table?
I think I try to work to a common goal. Not, hey, I'm giving you a year to get out. Let's look at your situation and look at what you actually want to do with your life, because that's important.
Right.
Because getting you out for you to return didn't really solve much. You have maybe some valuable life lessons, but they may be expensive for you and me.
Correct.
So let's talk about, okay, I'm 22. I want to be out by 27. Sounds, you know, like a long time, but it's 5 years. Like, I remember 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we was buying this house.
Yeah.
Not really 4 years ago, we bought this house. But you know what I mean? But the point is, time flies. So making it realistic based on where they want to be in life that's sustainable for them. Because you don't necessarily have to agree with the path they take, provided that it's not criminal or anything like that. Well, if they choose it, they choose it. But you want to make sure that it's something sustainable. You still want to give them the information that you have in terms of the world works like this, and what you're planning probably won't work in this world or the world to come. I was going to finish off with this. I think there's going to be a part two to this, because we need to talk through the situations where the children are there and not respecting any of this.
Yes.
Right. They're not willing to work, not willing to contribute. I want to get into that. And that might be a call in opportunity, quite honestly. But there's a story in the news that I found that I want to leave it with the audience in terms of thinking, so that when we revisit it. And I know you haven't seen, I didn't send you this one. I know you haven't seen this one, but
what you got?
It sounded like you had another point.
I do. It was more of a, and that's a good close. So I really want to slide this in before that. Just a real life situation. I had two, but I'm cutting it down to one because one is absolutely a part two. Like what you said, it's more built towards that. Ramifications. I have a real life story. Like I said, this was a hot topic. We had to we had to bump this up to the front of the list because of so many interests about it. But to keep it brief, a lady reached out and she said she had a son, went off to the military, came back, got married, didn't work in year one, split back up. He moved back home, brought his son back with him.
That part.
So
too.
Now the son is like, I don't know, 2 years old, something like that. Right. So now she's super grandmother. You know, she has another grandchild, five. This young man is two. So she takes these grandbabies. She goes to the grocery store and she gives them their own baskets. And like, voila, get what you want, do what you want. The son stepped in and said, Mom, please stop doing that. She was like, what are you talking about? I did you and your sister like this y'all whole entire lives. He was like, which is why I want you to stop. You created an absolute problem in me. I don't have self-control. He said, every time I go to the store now, he said, I don't even allow snack cakes in my house because I don't have self-control. You never told me no. You never denied me. I have free rein on anything in the kitchen, in the house. He's like, so now these cakes come in the house. I mash through the whole case in the first day that they're there. So I don't even allow it to come in the house. He was like, also in a relationship, my mom never told me no, never denied me, jumped, and did everything she thought I may need. I expected that in my wife.
Ooh.
So now I'm seeking a relationship to replace the relationship I had with my mom. Why are you telling me no? And why are you not catering to me hand and foot? Why are you? So you're really ruining these kids for life. The young man wasn't married a year. And what he said to his mom was, I wasn't emotionally stable for a woman that told me she loved me to tell me no or not jump when I said jump or cater to me my every desire before I even knew I desired it.
I like how that I want to leave that as lead in to other to follow on conversation too. But I think it'd be interesting to get one of these adult children's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing to consider is, you know, we're all adults, but how much of your advice do I have to accept with the support that you're giving me?
Right. Right. My God.
This is your house, especially bringing a child into the house and you want to raise them based on the lessons from how you were raised and not duplicate it. That can become interesting.
Yes.
So if you're cool with that.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
I want to leave with this. And it's short. This is from abcnewsgo.go.com, and I'm not sure of the actual year, but that's not important. There's a reference to a month and a day, but this was written at some point. If I find it, I'll put it in the show notes. Here goes. Some parents dream of the day they come home to an empty nest. That couldn't be more true for Mark and Christina Rotondo, who recently took their 30-year-old unemployed son to court to have him evicted from their two-story home in Camillus, New York, just outside of Syracuse. Mike Rotondo had been living there rent-free for 8 years, which may seem like a nightmare to many parents. On May 22nd, a New York State Supreme Court judge ruled in the parents' favor. Let me start again. On May 22nd, a New York State Supreme Court judge ruled in the parents' favor, ordering their son to pack his belongings and move out within 3 days. Michael Rotondo, who recently lost custody and visitation rights of his young son, had argued he needed 6 months to vacate, but the judge disagreed. End story.
6 months.
Contract. Is that the contract dispute?
Contract.
So let's leave it there, because I know we'll go another 45 minutes.
Pokey the bear, big pokey, jump in that thing. Yeah. But nope, we're gonna stop right there.
Yeah, we got some getting to it to get to the rest of the day. What you got, man? In closing,
stop cutting your kids short. You're doing more harm than good. Bring back the days. This is gonna hurt me more than it's gonna hurt you. We need it. You're disgusted with this generation, but you created it. What you gonna do about it? Let's fix it. What you got?
Yeah, I mean, discipline is tough to start at 30.
Oh, it is.
It's tough to start at 20.
It is.
Enforcing rules that are foreign.
Yeah.
Tough to start then. So start early and in Fort Austin.
Yeah.
Love Keisha J. I don't have the book in front of me because that one I gave to a guest that was here before. But Love Keisha J. There's a visual. So if you're listening, there'll be a reference in the show notes. Her first in a series of children's book, the Chocolate Princess series. Very good read, I'd say, for young women of color, ages 5 to about 15. My book, Dear Son, 20 Life Prompts to Facilitate Effective Parenting, is available. Link is in the description. What you got?
That's it. That's all. Stay focused. Be intentional. Pay attention. Pay attention.
We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.